John chapter 18. Now after Jesus had prayed, that's his lovely prayer of John 17, he left with his disciples and they crossed the little river that was called Kidron. And there was a garden in that place, and Jesus and his disciples often used to go to it. This is Gethsemane. Now Judas, the traitor, the one who betrayed Jesus, knew where the place was because many times Jesus had gone there with his disciples. So Judas went to this garden and taking with him a group of Roman soldiers, some temple guards sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees, armed and carrying lanterns and torches. Jesus knew everything that was to happen. And so he stepped forward. And I love that sort of note, as it were, of his body language, that knowing what was to happen, he steps out in faith. He stepped forward so determined that he was going to go ahead with this, even though he knew what it was all going to mean. And he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they fell to the ground. I suppose there was some revelation of the name of Yahweh that Jesus was carrying. Not that he was God, but he was manifesting God. As he said, "I came in my Father's name." So you can manifest God and reveal God without being God himself. And I think that's what happened here. Again, Jesus asked them, "Whom do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "I already told you that I am he," Jesus said. "So if then you seek for me, then let these go their way." He said this so that the saying might be fulfilled, "I have not lost one of those, Father, whom you gave me." But Simon Peter drew his sword and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And presumably he was trying to cut the man's head off, but the man just ducked his head, and so the sword blow just came down and hit the man on the side of his head, but cut his ear off. And the name of the servant was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Don't you think that I will not drink the cup of suffering which my Father has given me?" So the Roman soldiers with their commanding officers and the chief Jewish guards arrested Jesus, bound him, and took him first of all to Annas. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was that Caiaphas who had told the Jewish authorities that it would be better that one man should die for all the people. Now Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now that other disciple is presumably John, who's writing this gospel. But you see then the humility of all the Bible writers, that they do not push themselves up front. "I was there. I saw this." And in all our preaching of the gospel and our witness to the ways of God, there's got to be this humility and this self-effacement, not pushing ourselves forward. So Peter and this other disciple are following Jesus. But that other disciple was well known to the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest's house, while Peter remained outside by the gate. Then the other disciple went back out, spoke to the girl at the gate, and got Peter brought inside. The girl at the gate said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples?" "No, I'm not," replied Peter. Well, Jesus had warned him that before the cock crows, he's going to deny him three times. You think, "Peter, careful, you're going to do it, be strong." But you see, he's overconfident. And it's that overconfidence that leads to so much spiritual failure. It was cold, so the servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire and were standing around it, warming themselves. Peter went and stood with them, warming himself. Now, of course, the light of the fire was going to reveal his face. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And poor Jesus would have been thinking, "My disciples, well, they've all run away, really. And Peter, he's just over there denying me." Poor Jesus, so forsaken, really, humanly speaking, but not, of course, by God. Jesus replied, I have always spoken publicly, truthfully, in front of the world. All my teaching was done openly in synagogues and in the temple where all the people gather together. I have not taught anything secretly. So why then are you questioning me? Question those who heard me. Ask them what I told them, because they know what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the guards there slapped him and said, How dare you speak to the high priest in this way? Jesus replied, If I have said something wrong, then bear witness of what that was. But if I speak the truth, why then have you struck me? Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. This gives an interesting take on Jesus' teaching, that if they smite you on the left cheek, turn the right cheek to them. They smite you on the right cheek, turn the left cheek. Because he is here smitten on the cheek, and fulfilling the prophecy in Micah that they shall smite the judge of Israel upon the cheek. And when they do smite him, he says basically, why did you do that? I did nothing wrong. So I guess we are to interpret his words there in the Sermon on the Mount in a more sort of, not in a literal way, but in a more sort of just wider sense of do not actively resist evil. Peter was still standing there, warming himself by the fire. So the others said to him, Aren't you also one of this man's disciples? Peter denied it. No, I am not, he replied. But then one of the high priest's servants, who was related to the man, that's Malchus, whose ear Peter had cut off in the garden, said, Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Peter said, No. And at once the cock crowed. Poor Peter. But the great thing is that although Peter and Judas, they kind of sinned in parallel, they both denied Jesus, yet there was a way back for Peter because he was humble. And of course, Jesus did forgive him. And that's why after the resurrection, he meets Peter again by a charcoal fire and asks him three times, Do you love me? And it's a sort of an undoing of the denials, really. Early in the morning, Jesus was taken from the house of Caiaphas to the palace of the governor. The Jewish authorities didn't go inside the palace because they did not want to make themselves unclean so that they could eat the Passover. Well, of course, you think, what a load of hypocrites, that they were killing the Son of God, and yet they were so careful to not make themselves unclean, as they saw it, by going into the house of a Gentile. All of which is not taught in the law of Moses anyway. A Jew could walk into the house of a Gentile and not be made unclean. But it was their addition to God's law that they were so keen to keep, and they were not keeping God's law itself. So Pilate went out to them and asked, What are you accusing this man of doing? They replied, We would not have brought him to you if he'd not committed a very serious crime worthy of death. But Pilate said to them, Then you yourselves take him and first judge him according to your own law. They replied, We aren't allowed by our law to put anyone to death. This happened in order to make the words of Jesus fulfill, which he had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, that is, at the hands of the Gentiles. So Pilate returned into the palace and called Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? He asked him. Jesus replied, Does this question come from you, or have you had others tell you about me? Now, I think that Jesus is trying to get even Pilate to repent. It's amazing. Pilate replied, Do you think that I'm a Jew? It was your own people and the chief priests who gave you over to me. What have you done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight to stop me from being handed over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. So Pilate asked him, Are you a king then? Jesus replied, You say. Indeed, I am a king. I was born one, and I came into the world for this purpose, so that I might declare the truth. Whoever is of the truth hears my voice. What is truth? Pilate asked. Then Pilate went back outside to the people and said to them, I find no fault in this man, no reason to condemn him. But There is a custom that you have that I always release a prisoner for you during the Passover. Do you want me to release this king of the Jews to you?" But they replied, "No, not him. We want Barabbas." Barabbas was a robber and a murderer. So in all our sufferings, we are suffering something of the sufferings of Jesus, so that he might live in us and we might abide in him.